1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Oh, we forgot the offering, huh? Yeah, let's do the offering. Yep. Or I did, you guys didn't. So, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll read 14 through 18. And while we're waiting, tell you a little story. There was two hunters that went back in the woods in a state forest, and they were hunting back there, and I guess it was a woods that they didn't know very well, and guess what? They got lost. And so they were discussing on what to do. They could not find their way out, and they ended up one guy saying to the other, you know, I've already heard that if you shoot three times and then wait like 2 minutes and shoot three more times, somebody will come, you know, will hear that we're in trouble and will come and hopefully help us out. Okay, yeah, let's try that. They tried it. No luck. After about an hour with still no luck, one guy says to the other, man, I hope help appears pretty soon because I'm about to run out of arrows. That wouldn't go very far. So, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 14. We'll start reading there. Verse number 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one to them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would be with us during this Sunday school hour, Lord, and just help me, Lord, as I speak the message that you've laid on my heart, Lord, and I just pray that you would be with us here during this hour, Lord, and Lord, get me out of the way and just speak in the way through me that you want, Lord, according to your will, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So, the title of my message, The Structure of Faithful Members. The Structure of Faithful Members. The last time that I taught in Sunday school here was I taught about the foundation, about you can have, you know, you can build on two different foundations, either the rock or the sand. Now we're going to go from there on up, and we're gonna liken this as building a house. So the structure of the body of the church, we will be talking about it in comparison to the structure of a house. So from the foundation, we start with the plates, you know, the joists, like you may have a sill sealer that you put down on top of the cement blocks that's got bolts cemented up into them, and then you drill holes into these plates and to hold everything to the foundation. And so then next you got like the eye joists, or back in the day they used solid 2x12s, and for the joists along there to build the floor. And then comes the plywood for the subfloor and so on. Well then, you start building the walls, you know, and you use 2x4s and 2x6s, 2x8s, 2x10s, or 2x12s. Each size serves a purpose. Each size serves a purpose. You know, a 2x4 cannot be used where a 2x12 should be, and a 2x12 cannot be used where a 2x4 should be. And in that, you know, us as church members have different places that we help function the church, you know, to help serve in the church. There are some preachers, there are some teachers, there's some bus captains, bus drivers, there's some different class, just different levels. And of course we got pastor. And then there's also the nursery workers. Let's not forget about them, because they're doing a very important job. And so Each one of us has our role to play to work in. So verse number 19 and 20, and if there were all one member, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. See, if we were all one thing, if we were all pastors, we wouldn't have the structure of the church that we have now. We need everybody in the different areas to serve in different ways. So you know, if we as members were to do the same thing, a lot would be missed. A lot of different important parts. You know, we also got people who come in and clean the church. And if it would be that we all were 2x4s for the building, it wouldn't hold up. So verses 21 through 25, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24 says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And I searched on what the definition is of that word schism or schism, however you pronounce it. And the definition that it gave me was, it's a noun that means a formal split, division, or separation within a group, organization, or church, usually caused by differences in beliefs or opinions. So there we see that that there should be no schism. Am I pronouncing that word right? All right. In the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You know, we are to care about each other. So let's imagine the structure of the building. Let's imagine with me for a second that the 2x4s and 2x6s and 2x8s, 10s and 12s could talk to each other. Let's imagine they could talk to each other. And here's the 2x4 and the 2x12 having a conversation, and the 2x4 says, well, I'm just useless because I can't bear the load that you bear. I can't carry that load, so it must be I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nothing. You know, that's too often we beat ourselves up like that if we see somebody else maybe in a level that we would maybe like to be, per se, and jealousy creeps in, which is not a good thing. And so we kind of look at that and kind of think, you know, we compare ourselves among ourselves. We devalue what God can do with us because we're not there at that level. And, you know, God has us all to do a certain thing. So if the 2x4s were all used for header plates and stuff like that, the building wouldn't hold up. If a 2x12 were used to create a wall here, that would build quite a thick wall, and there wouldn't be much room in the house. You could have a big house with tiny room. So now let's imagine that, you know, after they the 2x4 and the 2x12 talk to each other about the load bearing, now comes the other part. You know, where the 2x4 feels devalued. The 2x12 will say, hey, look, I got a lot more weight to bear, and I got a lot more nails pounded in me than you do. I got a lot more nails pounded in me than you do. And I just had to think of, you know, the Bible says that if we desire the work of a bishop, we desire a good thing. You know, so in other words, pastor, I believe he goes through a lot more than we can even realize. He could be that 2x12 that also has a lot of nails, so to speak, in him from everything, all his responsibilities. You know, the higher the level of a position, the bigger the responsibility. The bigger the responsibility, and the more to answer for. And so let's not forget that. Verse number 26, it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When someone is going through a loss, let's hurt with them. Let's be there. You know, I was talking to Brother Sinders on Tuesday evening on the phone, and he said that day, Tuesday, marked 3 years since Anna passed away. And that was a rough day for him. You know, can we be there as members of the body to bear the hurt, you know, and be there for somebody? You know, like basically, I've already smashed my finger to where it almost seems like other parts of my body just kind of hurt. And that happens. That is natural. That is the way that God designed it. Well, what about us as church members? Can we do that for each other? And then let's encourage them. Let's try to encourage them. You know, we don't have to go through the exact same thing to be there for them and show them that we care. Sometimes just a listening ear is all they need. Sometimes just a listening ear can do more benefit than trying to say something and saying the wrong thing. Amen. So just a listening ear, just to be there for somebody, has a big, valuable effect on a person going through something. Now, when someone is going through an exciting time, let's rejoice with them. Let's show them that we care about them in that way too. Brother Tony and Miss Rachel just got engaged. Guess what the church did? We all cheered for them. You know, that was an exciting time. And let's be there for them throughout that time. And we got three young couples now who are expecting a baby. And they're excited. Let's be excited with them. That's an exciting time for them. They don't know what the future holds with them. My brother and his wife, just a few weeks ago, just a little bit over a month ago, they were blessed with a little baby boy. And not even quite 2 weeks later, the baby died. So here they had a blessing, and then also after that, they had a loss. And the little baby boy just lived to be not quite 2 weeks old, and he was born with a brain injury. So, there's a time, the Bible says there's a time for rejoicing and a time for sorrow. And so in both of those times, now I'm not talking about whenever we go through something hard, let's have a pity party and it's all about us. That's, you know, of course, that's the other side of the road. That's the other ditch. But to be there for somebody, we can for sure do that. Be there for somebody who's going through something, whether it be a loss or a praise thing going on. You know, we want to always be there for somebody. And that is the body of the church caring for each other. And now as we get on up to the, you know, in the building structure, as we get on up to, you know, building the walls with 2x4s and whatever you have, 2x6s and however many stories that you got. Let's say you got a basement and a first story and then an upstairs. So 2-story house with a basement underneath. all of those joists, there has to be pillars underneath to hold the load, you know, for the load bearing of the structure. And then above that, some more load bearing structures to hold the building up. And as we're building more buildings, the reason it's not a three-story building above the basement is because it would be a whole other story. Stealing Pastor Glenn Yoder's joke there. So then we get up to the roof, the trusses which form the roof, the shape of the roof, and then the ceiling of the upper story. And there's these, what they call webs, which are the braces. They have to be, you know, they have to be there to support everything together. And nowadays, at a truss factory, they have these jigs where they have these metal plates. Yeah, they got the metal plates where they put on the splices, but they also have the metal blocks to hold everything in place. They put everything together, and every truss gets to be the same. But back when I was growing up, my dad built a barn, and the way that we would do it then is we would just lay it down out on the ground on a level spot, and we would use like plywood, blocks of plywood instead of the metal plates to put on all the joints to hold everything together. And so what we would do is we would take the number one truss exactly how we needed it, the width of the building to exactly how steep we want the roof, laid it all out and put it all together. Now if that is a half inch off at the, you know, at some point, as long as it's not down here where it sets on the structure, but if that's a half inch off at one point here, it's not really gonna affect, you know, I mean, it's gonna, you know, as long as you make every truss the same, you ain't gonna see it. But, you know, our example, the pattern, our number one truss is Jesus Christ, and he is not a little bit off. He is not a little bit off. He's perfect. He's perfectly on. And so as we go and we build those, we lay the truss number two on top of that to pattern it off. Yeah, that thing is gonna get pretty close to the same. Truss number three, we build off of truss number two, a little bit off maybe here and there. And let's say we got 20 trusses to build. And we go on, use truss number three to build four to build five, and so on to number 19 to build number 20. And then you lay that number 20 right on top of truss number one. Is it going to be the same? Absolutely not. That is likened to that. I can't help but think of if we compare ourselves amongst ourselves. You know, the Bible says that that is not wise. And we decide that, well, this person is doing this. I'm not as bad as that person, so I'm still good. Really? Is that the truth? No, absolutely not, because we're supposed to be striving to be like Jesus. Now, if we take truss number two and truss number three and truss number four and so on up to truss number 20, we build every individual one of those by truss number one, then we can have a straight building. Then we can have something that will hold up and something that will actually be good to work with. So Hebrews, so you must have a pattern, which is Jesus Christ, not your dad, not your mom, and sad to say, I mean, not your pastor either, because he is also a human being, not to put any of them down, but they are not Jesus who we need to follow first of all. And, you know, like in the Amish, just follow the bishop and the rules and you should be good. That's not the case. Now, we can look up to somebody and have them, you know, let them have an influence. Somebody else can have an influence on us. And if it's a godly influence, it's good. But we still, you know, because someday, if we build our foundation on pastor, and then let's say he passes on, and now who do we have? But if we build our foundation on Jesus Christ, yeah, of course we miss whoever passes on, you know. But If we build our foundation on Jesus Christ, we will never lose him. We will never lose him. We will lose our mom and our dad at one time. We will lose them. But the values that they taught us, we don't have to lose those. They can stay. The Bible has something to say about this, about the pattern in Hebrews 12, verse number 2. It's up to you if you want to turn there. Keep your place in, we're going back to 2 Corinthians here shortly. Yeah, so you don't have to keep your place necessarily. Hebrews chapter number 12, in verse number 2. Hebrews chapter number 12, in verse number 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He's still there. And he will always be there. So right there, you know, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. It's not a fellow member. It's not a person here. It's Jesus. And I believe if we make anybody else a God in the place of Jesus, we are slapping Jesus in the face. We're no better than those who crucified Jesus and pounded those nails in him, or who took the whip to him. We're no better than them. We're actually doing that in a sense, spiritually. So, Jesus is to be our pattern, and if we go about following man instead of Jesus, just reading my notes here, we'll miss the whole point. We'll miss the whole point. We can easily fall into the trap of making excuses for ourselves and justifying ourselves by thinking, "I'm not as bad as that guy." You know, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 is that verse where it talks about not being wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. The Bible says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with someone that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So if we go about it and we look at this person or that person and, well, that guy is a so-and-so, that guy is a Sunday school teacher, and pastor never asked me to be a Sunday school teacher, why not? And we grow bitter about it. Then how are we going to, and we're not faithful with what we got, maybe just being a prayer warrior. And we're not faithful with those behind the scene things or the little things. How can God use us in bigger areas if we're not trusted? You know, I like what the Solomon Ministries, Brother Todd there said when they were here a couple weeks ago. He said, If you can't be responsible with $100, how is God going to entrust you with $1,000? And if you're going to always be struggling with a $1,000 paycheck and spending $1,100, you can make $1,000,000 and your outgo is $1,000,001. You know, if we're not faithful in what is given to us, how are we going to be faithful with more? And then, like I said a minute ago, with a higher position comes more responsibility, more accountability as well. So now let's look at the outside layer of the structure and the inside of the structure. We can put metal on the outside or vinyl siding or whatever. So like if you're going with vinyl siding, you want OSB and vinyl siding on top of that. And which is made to last, withstand storm. Now, what if you were to put drywall on the outside? What if you were to put drywall on the outside? That would not protect you from the weather. I mean, the first couple days it might look good. You paint it all, you know, wow, that looks good. But it ain't going to hold up. It is not going to hold up. And so we need the right thing in the right place for it to be able to hold up. The drywall belongs in the inside. And so if, you know, if we do all that right, then the structure will last long. And then there is, you know, it's still a house, but we need to do maintenance to it. We're saved, but we need to do work for God, not to keep us saved, but out of praise to God for what he did for us. Out of praise to God for what he did for us. So the drywall, you know, would not hold well on the outside. It just wouldn't. It's not made for that. It's not structured for that. So if we push ourselves, like, let's say, you know, like, for instance, I'm not called to pastor. I don't feel the call to pastor. I feel the calling to preach, but not to be a pastor. That could happen later on. But if I would now push myself to that position, I would be like drywall going out on the outside of the building, I believe. Because I'm not going to step into that category until God calls me, if he does, to that category. So the drywall needs to be in its place. And the 2x4s and 2x12s, you know, we went over all that. They need to all be in their place or it will not hold up. Now, the roof has to be good. No leaks or the house will go bad quickly. If your roof has a leak, it's going to deteriorate everything in there underneath fast, clear down to the basement. And an example of that, when I was still growing up, my dad moved to a community I was born and raised in Wisconsin until I was 18 years old. And so the last place we lived on before we moved to Indiana, my dad bought a property with an old house on it that had the roof collapse, you know, and a hole in the roof. And the other part of the house, you could walk through the floor and everything was solid. You got to that part, it was just a hollow. You could see the sky and you could see the basement. Everything was just clear down. Because of the roof not being maintained, it caused everything else to just go into tumbles, which we later tore it down and burned it. But just like that, you know, if that represents the connection with God. The connection with God. If you don't have that relationship with God sealed, then the storms are going to come and just destroy the structure. And same with the walls. If there's not metal or vinyl siding or something that is made to weather the storms, and you don't have that protection from the outside world, the devil is going to come in and try to destroy you. So we need those structures firm. And, you know, the foundation, which we talked about a few weeks ago, the foundation is an important factor of the building. But the foundation can be as strong as it can ever be if the roof is not in good shape, the whole body of the house is going to eventually, in a short period of time, it's going to decay and fall apart. That's just what's going to happen. So if we don't have our walls and, you know, secure our relationship. So our walls would be the Bible to protect us from the world. Relationship with God, the roof to keep that from leaking in the bad stuff, and keeping a good relationship with God, keeping it from leaking. Then we can have a strong structure that's going to last. We can have a strong structure that's going to last. And you know, in this whole setting, and we built that house, and we ignore the roof. You know, one thing that we looked at when we bought our house, we really looked at, was the joists, the foundation of the house, but not just that. We also looked at the roof, and it's got a good roof on it, and it doesn't leak, and therefore I dared to even go ahead and buy it, because the roof was good and there was no there was nothing that, no rain that came in to destroy the building. And so the structure needs to be good, but our structure in our life is even more important. The structure that of our life connected to God, you know, in relationship to God, is even more important. And so we have the foundation, which we talked about. We have the joists, and we have the pillars and everything, and the walls and the roof. And doesn't that also play into the area of church members, you know, as we roll into this area of, we need some teachers, Brother Jarrett and his wife and some helpers out in Bible Club, you know, doing that ministry, Brother Bud leading the choir, and just different things to make this go. We need that. And we want that, you know. But if one of us would go out of their place and or do something terribly wrong and mess it up, it would show. It would show. And so let's keep that relationship with God strong, and let's not forget the structure of the body of the church has to be of one accord with different responsibilities. You know, the eye says to the hand, what am I useful for? Because I'm not the hand. That's, you know, really kind of, we look at that and we're like, well, of course, you know, we understand that because we got eyes, we got hands. Our hands can't see, our eyes can't handle stuff, can't lift stuff. So we're like, well, of course. Okay, that's exactly how the structure of the body of the church works. That's exactly how it works. We all have different areas that we need to serve in. And if we're faithful, we need to be faithful in those areas, or it'll make it hard for leadership, you know, if we're not faithful in those areas. So that concludes my message. And so let's go ahead in a word of prayer. Let's make sure that our relationship with God and Bible reading and all that is that we can maintain that, and we can better up that. You know, we can never be too good on that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the message. Lord, I just thank you for each and every one here, Lord. And Lord, as all the other some classes are finishing up, Lord, I just pray that you would be with them and help them to go to their next classes, Lord, and just bless the rest of the day, bless the teaching and the preaching, Lord. And Lord, in all this, I don't want to forget to pray for Pastor, Lord, as he's not here. He's sick. And Lord, I just pray that you would touch his body and make him well, Lord. And he hopes to come back tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would help him to rest well, to where he can come back tonight's service, Lord, and just be with us all. And Lord, I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.